Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
This morning's scripture is from Luke 9, verses 28 to 36. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep. But since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent and in those days told no one of any of the things they had seen.
Thank you, Joan, and thank you, choir. We find ourselves in a transitional place this morning, making a last stop in the season of Epiphany before we turn into Lent, the season that helps us prepare for Easter and which begins this week on Ash Wednesday. The account of the transfiguration of Jesus is perhaps the best and the biggest and the boldest of all of the Epiphany accounts lifted up throughout this season. It's radiant. It's an occasion that sparkles and shines. I wore my sparkliest shirt. I know it's not all that sparkly, but for Transfiguration, I wore my sparkly shirt. If you are someone who loves all things bedazzled and bedazzling, this is your Sunday, Transfiguration Sunday. It started out as an ordinary day, I imagine. Jesus took Peter and James and John up to the mountaintop to pray, and while he was praying, Jesus was transfigured. His face changed, and his clothes became a dazzling white. Moses and Elijah, two giants from Jewish history, one representing the law and the other representing the prophets, appeared and were talking with Jesus. Luke is the only one of the gospel writers to give us a hint about what these three were talking about around the proverbial water cooler that day, saying that they were discussing Jesus' departure that was soon to take place in Jerusalem. Now, Peter and John and James must have gotten pretty tired hiking up that mountain because they were headed in the direction of a little cat nap when all of this commotion roused them. Just as Moses and Elijah were leaving, Peter blurted out this classically Peterish statement, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." The scripture passage goes on to acknowledge that Peter, one who always felt the need to say something, didn't really know what to say at all in that moment. And this moment on the mountaintop just was so curious, really quite funny, and just completely full of mystery that people have tried to dissect it every which way ever since. There are some folks who credit Peter for attempting to do something that was an established and meaningful part of his tradition. He was, at least on one level, trying to honor people who were important, to preserve this incredible moment, this glimpse of eternity that coalesced in a shiny and shimmering way in this one particular place and time. And there are others who look at Peter's words and actions and simply say, "Bless his heart." You know, in the way that some Southern folks do. I lived in Georgia, so I can say that. "Bless his heart, poor thing. He really didn't know what to say." And there are still others who take a little more critical view of Peter's response, pointing to the fact that Peter was trying to hold on to preserve, to even possess or domesticate the divine by building these three dwelling places to contain them. Well, you might have noticed that Jesus said nothing in response to Peter, but that God did chime in from a giant cloud that came and overshadowed them. God said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." And it's curious to me that in this moment, a moment that must have been a visual feast, that God didn't say, "Look, keep your eyes on him, look at him, follow Jesus." No, amid that feast for the eyes, God said, "Listen, listen to him." Isn't that kind of curious? It got me thinking this week about what it takes to listen, to truly listen to God, to anyone, to anything. It's so much more than just the mechanics of our ears, right? W.A. Mathau said, a Sufi musician, talked about making an altar of our ears. What a great phrase, make an altar of our ears. It captures the importance of intention and attention, being open and awake to what comes to us through this sense that is with us even in the womb before we are born, and that is often said to be the last to leave us before we die. "This is my chosen one," God said. "Listen to him." That sounds simple enough. We can do that, right? But it's often easier said than done. There's a story told by Bede Griffiths in his book, River of Compassion, a Christian commentary of the Bhagavad Gita, about a Hindu disciple who was seeking to embrace the knowledge that Brahman, the divine reality in Hinduism, is in all things. The story goes that one day he was going along the road when an elephant broke loose and was charging toward him. He just stood there looking at the elephant, saying to himself, "All this is Brahman, all this is Brahman. Nothing can happen to me." The elephant took him up in his trunk and threw him off by the side of the road, where he was picked up, unconscious. They brought him back to the guru, and the man complained to him, "You said all is Brahman. I thought the elephant was Brahman. How can this hurt me?" The guru replied, "Yes, but the man who was riding the elephant was shouting to you to get out of the way, and he was also Brahman." Listening is hard. There are internal voices and external voices, and sometimes voices that conflict with one another. Our lives in general are noisy, barely giving us the chance to hear through the cacophony that surrounds us. It can be hard to listen in the easy breezy moments of our lives because we can lose focus and attention. Like the disciples who made it to the mountaintop and almost missed the spectacular appearance of Jesus and Moses and Elijah, we too can get weighed down with sleep, unable at times to stay awake to the glory around us. And as we all know, it can be hard to listen in the challenging moments of our lives as well. Weighed down by fear or angst or despair, it becomes very difficult to listen deeply and attentively when we are carrying heavy burdens that consume so much of our time and energy. But the truth of this passage, the truth that makes a radical difference for our lives, is that Jesus brought Peter and John and James to the mountaintop for a reason. And Jesus brings us to this mountaintop today for the same reason. If you take a look at what comes right before and right after this passage, you'll notice that it's flanked by profoundly difficult moments. Just prior to this passage, Jesus tells the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer and die. And after they descend from this glorious mountaintop experience, the first person they encounter is a man, desperate and afraid, begging Jesus to save the life of his only son. Jesus didn't bring the disciples, them or us, to the mountaintop to establish residency, to stay. Jesus brings us to the mountaintop to remind us of who he is, whose he is, God's chosen one, and that no matter where our paths, hills and valleys take us, the highest highs or the lowest lows, we should listen for him, to him, all along the way. And I'll tell you the truth, on this Transfiguration Sunday in 2022, I am more sympathetic toward Peter than I think I ever have been before. A lot of years I like to poke a little bit of fun at him. But this year, I feel like I especially understand him. I like the mountaintop too. After huffing and puffing up the hill and finally getting above the fray of it all, I wouldn't mind building a few cabanas and staying for a little while. I'd like to stay there with shiny, sparkly Jesus. Who doesn't want to stay with shiny, sparkly Jesus? If I'm being honest, I don't want to go down the mountain of 2022 and confront COVID anymore. I'm tired of it. I don't want to face the struggles that are churning in my family. I don't want to deal with the fact that Sammy, my dog, is old and sick and has such a limited time left on this earth. And I sure as heck don't want to bear witness to this war in Ukraine. Sorry. I don't want to hear the bombs. I don't want to see the images of people, families, children, old folks fleeing in terror, ripped from the normal routines of their lives to now teeter on the edge of an abyss that they never could have imagined. No, thank you. It's 2022, and I'd rather just stay on the mountaintop. But I remind myself, I remind us that Jesus didn't bring us up here to stay. Jesus brought us to the mountaintop to strengthen and equip us for real life, for whatever lay ahead. And maybe the reason God told us to listen rather than look is the fact that things can and do look pretty grim sometimes. Jesus, after descending this particular mountain, will get dirty and dusty and bloodied. We know that. And yet we are reminded to listen. To listen, as Saint Benedict instructed, with the ears of our hearts, trusting that when we listen to and for the voice of the divine, we will be carried, we will be supported, we will be sustained. But where can we hear the voice of the divine? How will we, with the ears of our hearts, hear it? There are all kinds of places and ways. Morton Kelsey, in his book, Set Your Hearts on the Greatest Gift, shares a story about listening, saying, "Once I was complaining to a wise friend that I often awakened at about 2 o'clock in the morning and then could not get back to sleep. The friend asked me if I really wanted to know why I awoke. I did want to know, for the days after these sleepless nights were a grim ordeal. He told me that God wanted to talk with me. With my liberal theological training, I thought he was making fun of me, and I said so. He replied sincerely, 'God woke up Samuel in order to talk to him. Why do you think the Holy One won't speak to you in your darkness?'" Kelsey reports that the next night when he awoke, he got up, settled in a comfortable place, picked up a pen, opened a journal, and said, "Well, God, here I am. What do you have on your mind?" "To my utter amazement," he said, "something spoke back to me. I recorded both the questions and the answers. A real conversation followed, and these conversations have continued many nights during the past 40 years. The voice of the divine might meet us in our dreams and in the very darkness of our nights. The voice of the divine can also meet us in and through the natural world around us. I know many of you hike and walk and bike and spend time outdoors, and I'm guessing it supports and nurtures your sense of spirituality. Macrina Wiedeker is a Catholic nun and author who talks about a barren time in her life when she used a tree as a spiritual director. That was her spiritual director, a tree. "I learned so much that year because I listened in silence. Because it was small," she said, "I couldn't lean on it, but could only sit beside it. That taught me a lot about what the role of a spiritual guide should be. Even though it was small, it had the ability to give me a certain amount of shade. You don't have to have a lot of leaves to give shade. When it got thirsty, I watered it. The miracle of water is a little like the miracle of God's love. I learned from my tree that being transplanted is possible. I can always put down roots again, connect with the great root, and go on. We connect with the voice of the divine in nature, the earth and the sky, the flora and the fauna around us. And of course, we have the opportunity to hear the divine as we listen deeply, intentionally to one another, to the stories that make us who we are, to our hopes and our hurts, our struggles and our aspirations. We hear echoes of the divine as we listen to individuals, and we also hear the divine as we listen to others, to humanity all around us. Psychologist and scholar Jean Houston talks about developing what she calls a habit of multicultural deep listening, which means listening to the voices of people throughout the global village. So we listen today to the voices nearby, friends and family and neighbors and people we meet at the grocery store or at the park or on the street. And we listen to voices far away, too, voices that tell stories of war and of fear, but also of courage and resilience. And when we listen with attention and intention, we can hear the divine in and through the shouts of glee and the cries of sorrow, reminded that the glory of God shimmers in all things and that the arc of God's redemptive work is long, giving us courage and strength for the living of this and every day. The mountaintop is a great place to visit, but we are not meant to stay. We are called to life, into the thick of it, trusting Jesus to whom we tune the ears of our hearts again and again and again, trusting Jesus, who guides and companions us down the mountain and into the valleys and throughout all our days. Thanks be to God, who will lead us. Amen. Let us pray together. Loving and gracious God, we bring our spirits to your divine spirit this morning, seeking refuge and strength, seeking wisdom and mercy, seeking justice and hope for this day and the days to come. Just as bombs shatter the peace and stability of Ukraine, so too are our hearts shattered by the knowledge of violence and destruction being rained down upon so many innocent and vulnerable lives. We pray for an end to this war and an end to all war, knowing that you did not place us on this earth to hurt or destroy one another. We lift up others who are in need this day, holding their names and circumstances tenderly in our minds and hearts, praying that you will bring healing, comfort, peace, restorative rest for their bodies and souls. We confess, O God, that there is often so much noise in our lives that we fail to hear you. We yearn for you, your peace and your presence, but we are distracted by so much. Help us to hear your still small voice in all of the ways that you speak to us. Grow our capacity to trust in your light and glory that persists in and through all things. Fill us with peace and perspective in our mountaintop moments, that we might faithfully follow you into the valleys to journey with you and one another toward your kingdom as it comes. We pray these things in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.